الأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made it possible for us to converge again today to continue with the reading and explanation of the book Usul Sunnah by Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal Shaybani rahimahullah. And today inshallah we'll continue with the point number 11 in the book inshallah. In the point number 11, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah told his student who reported the book from him, Al-Imam Abdus ibn Malik al-Attar, he said, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ اللَّازِمَةِ الَّتِي مَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْهَا خَصْلَةً لَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا ويؤمن بها لم يكن من أهلها الإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. He said رحمه الله that ومن السنة اللازمة التي من ترك منها خصلة. And from the issues of the deen, don't forget that at the beginning when we said Usul Sunnah, we brought the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali Rahimahullah, who said that As-Sunnatu hiya tariqatu al-masluka, that the Sunnah is a path that is followed. And that he said that in the Salaf, they consider the whole of Islam to be Sunnah, because the whole of Islam is a tariq. So we say ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Islam as a whole, as a deen, is a way, is a path. So that's why he says man ahdatha fi amrina hadha, the one who brings something other than what is part of this our path. So here wa min as-sunnati al-lazimati allati man taraka minha khaslatan, that from the matters of the Sunnah, from the matters of the Deen, from the issues of Islam, Al-Lazima, that is so very necessary and important, so emphatic. Allati man taraka minha khaslatan, they are so important that man taraka minha khaslatan, anyone who leaves any one of it, the Imam is saying rahimahullah, he wants to tell us some things, that anyone who leaves any part of it, lam yaqbalha, it means that he has not accepted Islam completely. Anyone who leaves any part of what he wants to start discussing now, he has not completely accepted Islam. Wa yu'min biha, and he has not actually believed as a Muslim. And that's why these matters that he shall raise rahimahullah now, they are matters of aqidah, upon which the Muslim should say, no, I don't believe. The Muslim should not say, I don't believe them. And that's why inshallah, for each of them would be mentioning them and mentioning the proofs and the disposition of the companions and those who came after them to those issues inshallah. So he said, allati man taraka minha khaslatan, these issues, anyone, they are so important that anyone who leaves anything out of them, lam yaqbalha, he has not accepted Islam, he has not accepted the Sunnah, wa yu'min biha, yani wa lam yu'min biha, and he has not believed in Islam. Leaving one of it implies not being believed, not having believed in Islam. Leaving a part of it means not having actually accepted Islam. That is, lam yakun min ahliha. He has not, the fact that he's even claiming that he's from the Ahlu Sunnah, he is not from Ahlu Sunnah. He has not accepted Islam and the Sunnah, the Deen. He has not believed in the Islam, the Deen, and he is not from the people of Islam. These matters that the Imam will raise, rahimahullah. So this makes us understand the importance of these matters. He said, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ اللَّازِمَةِ الَّتِي مَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْهَا خَصْلَةً لَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا وَيُؤْمِنْ بِهَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. So these matters are as important as he has mentioned them and as we have tried to explain. So the first of all these matters that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal mentioned, rahimahullah, he said, الْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. الْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. If we link it to his introductory statement, what he's saying is, the one who does not believe in Iman, خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, يعني لَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا, لَمْ يَقْبَلْ السُنَّةِ. The person has not accepted the Sunnah, that is Islam, the Deen. He has not accepted it. وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهَا, and he has not believed in the Sunnah. وَلَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, and it's not from the people of Sunnah. We can't call him Ahlul Sunnah. We can't call him Ahlul Deen. It's not from the people of this Deen. So the first one that he mentioned, rahimahullah, is Al-Imanu bil-Qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi. Believing, the belief in Al-Qadar, Allah's decree, Allah's preordainment, Allah's predestination. He is the one who predestined, is the one who preordained, he determines what will happen. So al-imanu bil-qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi, the good of it and the evil of it, that which is good from the qadar and that which is evil from the qadar. We will try to explain inshallah. So qadar lexically means mablag al-shay, the level of something. It says wa khalaqa kulla shay'in faqaddarahu taqdeeran. We created everything. This verse shows two things. He says, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah created everything. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. One interpretation, he gave them, each of them, their limits, their measures. So the day has its limits, the night has its limits. He says, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. So takdir, the fact that the sun moves in its own orbit, it's in its own path, that is the takdir of Allah. One, that is the way Allah has predetermined, that is the way Allah has decreed that that matter should be. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ. The one who is most powerful, Al-Alim, who is most knowledgeable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is his preordainment for the shams. Another interpretation, that is the measure. You know, between the sun and the earth, there are measures, there are distances. Between the sun and other planets, between the sun and other stars in the sky. So that is the measure. So Qadar, lexically, everyday usage of the Arabic word means measure. The extent something can go, this is the measure of this thing. So it can't go beyond it. But in the usage in the Sharia, it means, as we have said earlier, the preordainment of Allah upon all his creatures, what he has preordained for them. And like the verse we use for the shams, it says wa shamsu tajri li mustaqarrin laha. Look at mustaqarrin laha. It says zalika takdir, that the sun moves in this orbit is the takdir of Allah. Like we said, two things. It means that is the measure that Allah has given to the sun. It also means that that is the qadar that Allah has preordained, Allah has predecreed for the sun. It can't exceed it and it can't come beyond it. It can't come below it. Except when Allah wants to destroy the heavens and the earth for resurrection. He will put the sun and the heavens, he will put everything asunder. It's a shamsu kuwirat. And on the day of Qiyamah, when he will command the sun and the moon to move into the fire. Because part of what Allah will punish the people of hellfire, which is the sun. The sun will heat up the fire also in Jahannam. May Allah save us away from that. So the way what Allah has predetermined for the sun is that it should remain in its orbit. What it has preordained for the moon is that it should also remain in its orbit. What it has preordained for myself and you is that we should see with our eyes, we should sense smell with our nostrils, we should taste with our tongue. These are preordainments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of Qadr. What Allah has preordained for his creatures, the preordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creatures. In one of the verses of the Quran, Allah says, "Inna khalaqna kulla shay'in biqadarin." We surely, we have created everything, kulla shay'in, everything. We made them with what? With their qadar. So there is nothing that exists except that it's existing with its own qadar, its own maqdurat that Allah has placed upon it, its own measures that it cannot exceed, it cannot go beyond it. Allah has created it on it. So this is qadar, the preordainment of Allah upon creatures, upon human beings, upon other lower animals, upon everything in creation. This is qadar. But the ulama of salaf, our past predecessors, rahimahullah, they make us understand that qadar, preordainment, Allah's decree has four levels. Allah's decree has four levels. The first level of it is al-ilm, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge. And that is the fact that Allah knows everything. He says, "Ala ya'lamu man khalaqa wa huwa al-latiful khabir." The one who created, will he not know what he has created subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah knows everything subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the implications of saying that Allah knows everything, anyone who really believes, and there is no way except that one truly believes that Allah knows everything. Part of the implication of this belief that Allah knows everything is to believe that He knows about all His creatures, wherever they are. He knows what has happened before their creation, when He created them, and what will happen to them when they die, when they will resurrect, everything that will happen to them He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He knows everything about His creatures. And because His knowledge, we are different here from the Shia, because the Shia believes that at some point in time there are some things that Allah did not know. They believe that at some times there are some things Allah did not know. He only knew them when those things existed. The Shia, they believe that there are some things Allah did not know. So when you tell them that Allah said concerning the companions that as-sabiqun al-awwalun min al-muhajirin wal-ansar wal-lazina taba'uhum li-ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum, you see, at the time that Allah says as-sabiqun al-awwalun, those prior predecessors, those who had gone forth, they were the ones who accepted Islam before anyone. Min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. Some of them were muhajirun, they migrated from Mecca to Medina. Wal-ansar, some of them were ansar, they were actually in Medina and they came to assist the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the companions that made hijrah. Allah says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. The Shia will tell you, because they make takfir of the companions. They say all the companions are kuffar, except about four of them, Ammar ibn Yasir, and the rest of them that they mention. So the Shia will say, Allah did not know that the companions will commit kufr. The Shaykh Ayman al-Shayrazi, who did the tahqiq of Minhaj Sunnah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in 8 volumes, he mentioned all these facts, quoting the statements of even Khomeini that people say today. They say it's Imam Mujaddid. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Khomeini, he also says some of these statements, that Allah did not know some things before, later He know them now. So wa ahlu sunnah wa jama'ah, he says wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in. Simple question, ilma, simple question. All these things, are they part of ashia? Are they shay? Are they something? If they are something, he says, "Ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma." His knowledge encompasses everything. So if you say his knowledge encompasses everything, but he did not know that the companions will make kufr, auzubillah, when he was praising them, that radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. The question is, this taqeed that, no, he knows everything except this one. Where did you see the proof to say that there is this one that he doesn't know? He says, I know everything. He's even asking us in a reprisal, in a reprisal manner. He says, Allah ya'alamu man khalaqa. Will the one who creates not know? It's one of the best ways and one of the greatest ways of ramming home a fact to come in a way asking question alas babil inkar. That Allah ya'alamu man khalaqa wa huwa al-latiful. The one who has created, will he not know? He's saying that I know. So Allah knows subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Imam is saying that these matters, they are lazim for the Muslim to believe it. He says, "Man taraka minha khaslatan," anyone who leaves any part of it, lam yaqbalha. He has not accepted Sunnah, he has not accepted Islam because of the implications of his or her not accepting these facts. So Allah is al-alim. Allah knows all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before he created them, where he created them, what will happen to them, what will not happen to them, what will hit them, what will miss them, Allah knows them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not know them because his sifat, one of which is his knowledge, his attributes, they are qa'imu bi dhatihi. They are with his essence. His sifat, his attributes, the fact that Allah sees, the fact that Allah hears, the fact that Allah has hands, the fact that Allah sees, has hands, has ears, he can move, he comes from the heavens, he comes to the lower heavens, every third part of the night, every day, all these, they are not attributes that he got, they are with his essence. They call this sifat, all the sifat zatiya, sifat failia, the attributes of Allah that are with qa'imu bi zati, that are with his person, like the fact that he has eyes, and that he hears, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These attributes, they are with the Zat of Allah. And they are with him. They are with Allah. So Allah knows from when nothing exists. So this knowledge of Allah, and that's why the ulama sometimes discuss Qadar under Rububiyyah. They discuss it under the Rububiyyah of Allah. Because the rububiyyah of Allah is accepting the fact of the fact that accepting the fact that Allah created everything and he placed everything in its normal place, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows what is best for all his creatures at every point in time, and this is what he has done, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is rububiyyah of Allah, and that he sustains them, and that he created them, and that he will kill them, and that he will raise them up. All these are acts of rububiyyah of Allah. If anyone accepts rububiyyah of Allah, will he not accept that Allah has knowledge of all these things? Because will he be doing these things without knowledge? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So the first level, the first stage of Qadar is accepting the fact that Allah knows everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he created them. And he knows what shall happen to them. This is the first level in understanding Qadar. The second level in understanding Qadar is Al-Kitaba. The fact that this knowledge of Allah is written. And that's what is written in Lawh al-Mahfuz. There is a hadith that's been reported by Ashab al-Sunan. Some of the people have mentioned in trying to say that there are some riwayat of this hadith that's not authentic, but there are some other riwayat that are authentic. So we should not bother about the issue of its authenticity. Because even those who are raising some eyebrows, like the one who wrote the book, making some rudud on Silsilatul Sahiha, Muhammad Surur Abdul Fatah, what he was saying is that there are some riwayat, there are some turuk, some chains of narrations that are weak. He's not saying that this hadith and its meaning is not right. He's establishing that the hadith is weak. Is authentic. but weak in some chains of narrations. So the fact that it has narrations, chains that are weak, it doesn't disturb the authenticity of the hadith. The reason why we are mentioning this is, it is possible someone just hears something that appears as if someone says that the hadith is weak. So it gets attached to his mind, and he begins to think that the hadith is weak. This hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that Allah created the pen. أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. The first of what Allah created, and Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned it when he was talking about the tafsir in Surah Al-Qalam, Noon, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَفْتُرُونَ. That it is this Qalam that Allah is swearing it in Surah Al-Qalam. And of course, from this Qalam, the Surah took its name. So Allah created the Qalam first and told it, Uktub, write. And the Qalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what am I going to write? Mada Aktub, what am I going to write? So Allah commanded the pen, write what shall happen from now till when nothing shall exist. So the Kalam began to write. So what the Kalam has written, it wrote it from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is referred to as Lawful Mahfuz. No one knows it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows what's in the Lawful Mahfuz except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one can say he has access to it. And this is part of the gulul of the people of Turk, the people of Tariqa, Tijaniya or Ibrahimiya, because they claim Ibrahim Niyya, he has statements, Ahmad Tijani, he has statements in the book Jawahir al-Ma'ani that indicates that he is saying that he has access to Lal Mahfuz, so that he knows the knowledge of Lal Mahfuz. So these are parts of gulu with the people of Turuk. So Lal Mahfuz, no one knows what is there except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has written these things. So the second stage of Qadr is that knowledge of Allah is written, Al-Kitaba. And that's what Allah mentions to us in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ. Do you not know, are you not aware, that Allah knows everything in the heavens and on earth? He says, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ. What I know is in a book. He says, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. It is easy for me. It is easy for me that what I know, I wrote it. It's written. The pen wrote it. So the second level of Qadr is that the knowledge of Allah is written. What he know, what will happen, what will not happen, what shall do, who shall give back to who shall see what, who shall have what. And from here I'll pick a lesson. He says to us in Surah Al-Isra, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ أَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. So the one who hastens after this dunya, let him hasten. But أَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. We are going to give in this dunya مَا نَشَاءُ, what we want, لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ, to whom we want. So just be running helter, no problem. Follow the asbab, but we shall still give what we want to whom we want. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these things, they are written. And in another hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that we shall come back to, inshallah, in the course of the discourse. So the second level of understanding Qadr is understanding the fact that it is written in the book. It says, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٍ. In the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, كتب الله مقادير الخلائق. He said, Allah created مقادير الخلائق, the qadar of creatures, the miqdar of every creature. Allah has written it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, بخمسين ألف سنة قبل خلق السماوات والأرض, by 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. Everything for every creature, every ant that you match and kill, the fact that you will match that ant and kill that ant, and the fact that that ant will actually be killed by you, by means of you, is all written in the book by 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. So the hadith is authentic. The third level of Qadr is Al-Mashi'atu wal-Irada. Al-Mashi'a, will or wish. They are interchangeably used, Mashi'a, Irada. So this Mashi'a, they are divided into two. One of it is Mashi'atullahi al-Kawniyah, what Allah wants inside this existence. In the whole, everywhere, there is nothing that exists except that Allah wants it to exist. All of what exists, exists by the Mashi'a of Allah. This is why ulama refer to it as Kawniyah, that is in the cosmos, in existence. So Mashi'atullahi al-Kawniyah is what Allah wants in existence. What He does not want in existence cannot exist. Whatever we are not seeing in existence doesn't want it in existence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What He wants in existence is what we are seeing in existence. So there is nothing that exists anywhere, no matter what it is. Everything that exists, because everything is either created or creator. Something is either a creator or created. So everything that we see, in as much as we believe that this computer did not create itself, it is created. Everything is created. So everything in creation occurs in creation because Allah wants it to occur in creation. So the snakes occur in creation because Allah wants them to occur in creation. The scorpion occur in creation. And from here we begin to understand khairihi wa sharrihi. Because to us, the snakes are poisonous. So to us, they may not be khair. So all of it, everything in existence, Allah wants it to occur. Some of the people, like the Mu'tazila, they took an Aqidatul Batila from the Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians are the worshippers of fire. They believe in two gods. The god of fire, the god of light, they refer to that one as Agrameni. And the god of darkness, they refer to that one as Ahura Mazda. These Zoroastrians, Majusis, people who worship the fire. So they believe that one day, the god of fire shall destroy the god of darkness. So that's why they worship the fire, because it is the one that will supersede, that will have the upper hand. And again, they believe that everything that is good was created by Agrameniu, and everything that is bad was created by Ahura Mazda. We say no to that. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. Allah is the creator of everything. Everything, Allah created it. The snakes, Allah created them. The scorpions, Allah created them. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah is the creator of everything. We're coming back to that, inshallah. But what we want to use here before we talk about creation, because that is the fourth stage of Qadr, the fact that Allah created all those things that He wanted, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the third stage of the Qadr is Mashi'a. So Allah wants both good and evil to exist. That is how they exist. Everything you see as good, Allah wants it to exist. Everything you see as evil, Allah wants it to exist. We shall come back to that also when we are talking about Al-Iman bil-Qadr, khairihi wa sharrihi. We try to explain the issue of shar in Qadr, inshallah. So everything exists kama sha'ahu Allah, as Allah wants it. And that's why He told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, huwa alladhi yusawwirukum fil arhami kayfa yasha. I am the one who fashioned you in the wombs of your parents, kayfa yasha, in the way that I want. Kayfa yasha, I fashion you in the wombs of your parents the way I want. So it makes us understand that what we see in creation occurs the way Allah wants it to occur. So this is the second understanding, the third level of understanding Qadr. The fourth level, about which we already started talking about, is Khalq, creation. But before we come to that, we said Mashi'atullah, Mashi'a or Irada, the third one is in two forms. We said Mashi'atullah al-Kawniyah. The other one of it, the other aspect of Mashi'a, is Mashi'atullahi al-Shari'iyah, what Allah wants in Sharia. Let us explain it this way. The fact that people will commit zina, Allah wants it in existence. But Mashi'atullah al-Shari'iyah is that He says don't make zina. Do we understand? What Allah wants subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that there should be zina in existence. For the khair and hikmah that he knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Sheikh Salih ibn Uthaymeen was saying in his book, Sharh Aqidat al-Wasitiyah, he said, arafaha li hikmatin, arafaha man arafaha, wa jahilaha man jahilaha. Allah created those things to be in existence for a wisdom, for some wisdom, and for some virtues, some benefits, that those who know it, know it, and those who don't know it, don't know it. We'll discuss that, inshallah, when we are talking about khairihi wa sharrihi. So Allah created fisk, that there should be fisk in creation. But this fisk is part of his mashia, that there should be fisk, but it's part of his mashi'atullah shar'iyya. What he wants in legislation is that nobody should make zina. Now he says, in takfuru fa inna Allah ganiyun ankum. If you disbelieve in Allah, Allah does not need you. The one who disbelieves in Allah, Allah does not need him. When he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, what did he say? مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. So kufur, when your ibadah does not bring risk to him, is it your kufur that will bring risk to him? So he said, in takfuru, if you disbelieve, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ, Allah is free of you, he does not need you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرُ. You see now, but he doesn't want you to make kufur. So this is telling us that two things here. Allah has rida, Allah has what he likes, and what he does not like. So this is what is referred to as mashi'atullah ash-shar'iyyah. What he likes is his sharia. What is sunnah, what is wajibat, mashi'atullah. Allah wants them to be like that in his sharia. Mashi'atullah al-kawniyyah, what Allah wants in existence. The area where mankind has his ikhtiyar in issues of qadar is this area of mashi'atullah ash-shar'iyyah. This is where free will comes from. Do we understand? Allah has preordained that there should be fisk. But he says don't do fisk. So he has preordained that there should be fisk. Mashi'atullah al-kawniyyah. Don't do fisk. Mashi'atullah al-shar'iyyah. So that's why you'll be rewarded for it or punished for it. And that's why the ulama, when they explain khairihi wa sharrihi, the matter kept on coming. Let's be talking about it. Let's not be postponing it again. It is khair. Because we cannot attribute evil to Allah. He says, Laysa ilayka shar. Ash-sharu laysa ilayk. Evil cannot be attributed to you. So how do we understand that? We say, yes. What Allah creates, his takdir, his making that qadar, is khair. But to us, it is shar. What we see as shar is shar to us. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is khair. The fact that we consider serpents as evil things in the community, it is khair that Allah created serpents. Because how many pests that would affect human beings do serpents, snakes take away? The fact that we get sick, how many things from us will our sickness take away? So our getting sick, is it khair or shar? Khair. Khair. In fact, one of the scholars was saying that there are some sicknesses that cannot be taken away by the use of drugs, except when someone is sick again with another illness. It is another illness that will take away those other illnesses. And the fact that we get sick makes us appreciate health when we have it. So now, the fact that we get sick, what does it do to us? It increases our iman. One, it removes our sins. Two, it makes us appreciate siha. Sound health. So is it khair or shar? Khair. But it is shar. That's why they say shar. When it's khairihi wa sharrihi. That the shar is idafi. It is relative to us. But to Allah is khair. Kullu khair. It is to us. It is khairihi wa sharrihi. It is with respect to us, we human beings. Someone who wants to take a flight in an aeroplane to somewhere, he misses the flight. What is that? Shar. To us, to him. He cries, well, I missed the flight, especially if it's a flight of Emirates. Sometimes you have to pay money for missing that flight. So So you pay money for missing the flight, so I cry, oh, subhanAllah. As he's crying, he hears that the plane got blown up in the sky. So what does it become for him? The matter changes. He starts saying Alhamdulillah. The person who was saying Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, now it changes to Rabbil Alameen. But that hikmah is there. That's why the ulama say, arafaha man arafaha wa jahilaha man jahilaha. The one who doesn't know the khair, the khairiyah of the shar, that he refers to as shar, he doesn't know it. The one who knows it, knows it. Someone who does not see, who is blind, Allah has preserved him from the sins that has to do with the eyes. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an hadith in Sahih Bukhari made us understand that Allah, man akhaza habib, man akhaza Allah habibatayhi. The one that Allah takes is two beloved. Look at what he called it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two beloved. He says Allah will replace for him with Al-Jannah on Day of Qiyam. So the fact that someone goes blind, is it khair or shar? Khair! Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the day he went blind, he was happy. He said, it's bashara for me that he will put me to Jannah. He's giving me glad tidings that inshallah he will put me to Al-Jannah. He went blind, he got started getting happy at old age. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas radiallahu anhumah. So when we say khairihi wa sharrihi, we quickly came to it because it was coming in, so we didn't want to postpone it again. The shar is idafi, it's relative shar with respect to we. But with respect to Allah, laysa ilayka shar. You do not attribute evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All is good. The one who does not know the goodness doesn't know the goodness. There are so many things like that if you look at it. If you look at so many things. Look at someone who commits zina, for example, and they are flogging him publicly. Is that khair in it? For him it is shar. But for him it is still khair. Because that he is punished for zina in this dunya is better for him than he is punished for zina hereafter. So the hadd zina is khair al-shar. And this is part of mashi'atullah al-shar'iyya. What Allah wants in the sharia, that the person who commits zina, who is not married, should be flogged. He should be flogged 100 strokes of the cane. He says, وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He should be witnessed by the people. So he may feel ashamed, but it's better for him. If he's left and he has to receive the punishment for zina on the day of Qiyamah, how is that? And also it is, there is khair in it for the people who are looking at the punishment. Because some people will not commit zina because they have seen someone who is punished for zina. How, subhanAllah, how can they be brought in public like this and flock? It's better to forget about the zina. So is zina khair or shar? I mean, haddu zina. That someone is punished for that, which is part of mashi'atullah al-shar'iyya. Do we understand? So there are four levels of qadar. The first one is al-ilm. The second one is what? Al-kitaba. The third one is what? Mashi'atullahi wa iradatuhu. And the fourth one is what? Khalq. The fact Allah created everything. Nothing exists except that Allah created it. We mentioned the verses. It says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah is the creator of everything. Not only that, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. He is the supervisor of everything. He controls their affairs. Allah controls the affairs of everything. Everything. And he is not controlled. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. These verses, these issues are things we should know on our hands. And we should understand and actually believe in them. Don't forget what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said. The one who has not believed them has not, he has no Islam, no deen, no Ahlul Sunnah. So every person who wants to be referred to Sunnah, to deen, must believe in these matters. Like this. Like this. Understanding these various levels. So the fourth one is that Allah is the one who created everything. He also said, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Allah created everything. He gave each of them their own qadar. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the four levels of understanding the issue of qadar. There are two people who went astray as regards qadar in the history of Islam. Two groups of people. The first group of people are the Jabariyya. English people refer to them as Jabarites. Jabarites. They are called Jabariya. They believe that every action of man is bil ijbar. Everything we are doing, you are forced to do it like that. So the person who chooses from his own irada, because man also has mashia. The fact that we say that the mashia in Qadr is mashi'atullah, don't forget that we mention mashi'atullah as-shar'iyya. Maybe we should quickly address that. The fact that we also have mashi'a, we have free will. We have free will. Allah said, liman sha'a minkum an yastaqim. So he said we have our own mashi'a. For the one who wills to have istiqamah, to remain faithful to Allah. So he said we have mashi'a. Even when our own mashi'a is tahta mashi'atillah, our own wish is and will is under the wish and the will of Allah. But we have wish and will. We have wish, we have will. One proof of it is this verse where Allah says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. He says, say the truth from your Lord. Say it. Let the one who likes to believe, who wills to believe, who wishes to believe, let him believe. And the one who wishes not to believe, let him not believe. So here Allah makes us understand that we have what? Mashi'a. Even when our mashi'a is tahta mashi'atillah. Because it says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Everything you wish is still under the mashi'a of Allah. So why? Because Allah is the owner, the owner and the king of all this kingdom, and is the controller, evolver of everything. So how can somebody be willing something under his kingdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not know about it? How? Allah owns this vast universe, and someone is wishing something in it and willing something in it, and Allah doesn't know. So Allah knows. So he says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ. Even that your own wish and will is تَحْتَ مَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ. It's under the wish and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are trying to say that mankind, we also have our own wish. We have ikhtiyar. If someone tells us now that there are two roads, this road leads to a city full of pleasure, enjoyment, peace, security, safety, this is the road. You see this road on the left, it leads to a place of confusion, evil. Where will the person who is reasonable, which road will he choose? The one on the right or the one on the left? The reasonable person will choose the one on the right. Who says he should choose? He decided to choose. So he has mashi'a. So the people who say, no, why are you saying there is Qadr? Here, you chose. So why are you saying we can choose when there is Qadr? This is the issue where the Jabariyya, they came. They say there is no choice for man. Mankind do not have choices. But they have been refuted by that verse that we mentioned, that Allah makes us understand that we have mashi'a. Do we understand? And the simple waqi', the simple reality, intellect also makes us understand that the claim of the people of Jabariya that mankind is controlled throughout by Qadr, it does not have a choice. You don't choose, no quwwatul ikhtiyar. So he's just doing everything under Qadr. He is compelled to have to act that way. So such persons use the excuses of this idea to prove the reason why they have to commit some things. Even when there are Muslims on the street who don't believe, actually, who would not agree that they are from the Jabariya, but they behave like that. When they commit a sin, they say it is like that, it is Qadr that they should commit the sin. And that's why it is reported that at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, someone stole and his hands are to be cut off. So he ordered that his hands be cut off. The person said, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, Taqillah. that it is from the qadar of Allah that he should steal. Umar ibn Khattab says it is also from the qadar of Allah that we should cut off your hands. The two of them, they are correct in ways. Stealing is in the qadar of Allah, mashi'atullah al-kawniyah. But it is from the mashi'atullah al-shar'iyah that the one who steals, his hand should be cut off. So let your hand be cut off. Don't say, let my hands not be cut off. He chose to steal. He chose to steal. Allah did not make jabr on him that he should steal, that you have to steal. He created stealing, but he warned against stealing, so that the one who abandons stealing will be rewarded for not stealing. Do we understand? So he's creating stealing. Is it evil or good? It is good. So that you can get Jannah before him. So someone says, no, he debases himself and steals. So Mashi'atullah Shari'iyah comes. They cut off his hands. So people make istidlal with Qadar when they sin. They commit a sin, an act of sin, and they say it is Qadara. I've seen someone who stole the wall clock in a masjid. He was asked to say, why did he say Qadar? وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ Allah is displeased with that. He did not qadara you. He did not jabara you that you should steal. He gave you the choice. إِمَّا شَاكِرَ وَإِمَّا كَفُورَ says, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ سَبِيلًا إِمَّا شَاكِرَ وَإِمَّا كَفُورَ It's his choice. In fact, what Allah made him with is that he should not steal. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim, he reported that Allah said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said that inni khalaqtu ibadi hunafa. When I created my servants, I created them as those who will worship me alone. Faja'atuhum ash-shayatin. It is the devils that came to them. Fajtalathum an-deen. They are the ones who came to drive them away from the deen. Allah created us pure. If someone is born and thrown into a bush, nobody, nothing goes to him. The person will grow up and become a Muslim and die as a Muslim. Because it is the fitrah of Allah. It's the fitrah of Allah. It's the fakim wajhaka lid-deen hanifa. Fitrah Allah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. What Allah gave us in our fitrah is that we should be good. Not that we should be evil. Not. So he says, if you continue with this good to Jannah, if you until you die, I will give you Jannah. So nobody should make evidence with sins that he was made to have to sin. So that has to do with some belief of the people of Jabariyah, that they believe that there is no free will. We do not have quwwatul ikhtiyar, the choice. That all what we do, we are forced and compelled to do it like that. The other group of people who also went astray are the Qadariyah themselves. The people who believe that there is no Qadar. Everything is the ikhtiyar of human beings. But the verses we had mentioned earlier about Qadar refutes them. Do we understand? That there is Qadar, but the Qadar only needs to be understood. And that will form the part of other statements that we shall read about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when he said here, Rahimahullah, that what tasdiq bil ahadith fihi, we have to believe in those ahadith regarding the issue of what? Qadar. Khairihi wa sharrihi. I think we understand khairihi wa sharrihi now. We have to make tasdiq, we have to accept them as true, these ahadith. Wal imanu biha. We also have to believe in those ahadith. We must believe in them. And this is where we are going to. Whether you understand it or not, whether we understand them or not, we must believe that that is how they are. So la yuqalu, we should not say lima, why is it like that? Or kaifa, how is it like? How did Allah write? How did Allah tell the pen to write? How did Allah know that someone, we do not ask these questions. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, on the issues of Qadar, we do not ask questions. We only learn to understand them. If we are able to understand them, alhamdulillah. If you are not able to understand them, believe them like that. That forms also part of the statement that he made. That believe them like that. Inshallah, we shall come back to that. So this is the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah as far as the issue of Qadar is concerned. And these people from the Qadariyah and the Jabariyah, they have been refuted in the Ummah from one generation to the other since the history of Islam. Let's just read just a part of this. An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu and huma. It is reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with the father and the son. Abdullah sahabi, Umar radiyallahu anhu sahabi. So say radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with the two of them. When he was told that the Qadariyah, there are now people who deny Qadar, they do not believe that there is Qadar. The person who started that was Ma'bad al-Juhani. He started that in Basra. Started saying that there is no Qadar. And Ma'bad al-Juhani, in this way, everyone has to be careful. Especially those ones that Allah has blessed with something that is called knowledge. They are the ones who are most susceptible to shaitan. Ma'bad al-Juhani was supposed to be a learned person. Very, very intelligent. Very intelligent, but he denied Qadar. And ulama say that's how it is with many of those who are the leaders of the sect that came before. They were usually considered as learned people, very brilliant people, good at speech, good at intelligence, good at so many things. So it's easy for them to be used by shaitan. May Allah save us from that. So when they told Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that Ma'bad ibn Juhani, Ma'bad ibn al-Juhani had started talking about Qadar, that there is no Qadar, he said to them that فَإِذَا لَكَيْتَ أُولَٰئِكَ, when you meet those people who are saying that there is no Qadar, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ بُرَآءٌ مِّنِّي, tell them that I do not have anything to do with them. Don't forget that we said at the beginning that one of the simat, one of the attributes of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah is what? Tarkul khusumat wal julus ma'a ashabil ahwa. I hope we do not forget that. So you will see everything about the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah of our Salafu Salih rahimahumullah. It will be following these qawaid. So he said, give them information. Fakhbirhum anni bari'un minhum wa hum bura'un minni. Tell them that I don't have anything to do with them. And they also do not have anything to do with me. وَالَّذِي يَحْلِفُ بِهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِبْنَ عُمَرْ لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحْدِهِمْ مِثْلُ أُحْدٍ ذَحْبًا فَأَنْفَقَهُ مَا قَبَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. Tell them, I swear by Allah with whom I swear by the one that I swear with. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did he say that? Don't forget that he was the one who reported the hadith. That man yahlif falyahlif billah aw liyasmut. The one who wants to swear should swear with Allah, or he should keep quiet. So Ibn Umar in that hadith said, I never swore with anything except Allah. So that is why he said, I swear with the one that Abdullah ibn Umar swears with. Do we understand? Because he had told us in another hadith that I never swear with anything except Allah, since the Prophet said that. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu say, I swear with the one that Abdullah ibn Umar swears with. Tell them, if any of them has the kind of the mount of Uhud, like gold, and he spends it, he gives it on nafaqah, Allah will not accept it from him until he believes in Qadr. Hatta yu'mina bil Qadr. Until he believes in Qadr. If he does not believe in Qadr, Allah will not accept it from him. Don't forget that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah has told us here, that man taraka minha khaslatan, anyone who leaves any part of this thing. And what makes someone's action become rejected is disbelief in Allah. Do we understand? So what he's saying is that if you do that, you are just wasting your time. Habitat a'maluhum fa'asbahu khasirin. They are going to be losers. Their works will be wasted. It will be of no value to them. So he says, say to them that I say if they spend all they have, that like Mount Uhud, there's gold, and they spend it in Sadaqah, Allah will not accept it until they believe in Qadr. Rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah. He said, Rahimahullah or radiyallahu anhu, that summa qala. The reporter said, then Abdullah ibn Umar said, haddathani abi. You see muhaddithun here. When they say haddathani, haddathani, people can say, where did they get haddathani from? And the same way we shall read the hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, in the hadith of Sadiq al-Masduq, he said, haddathani rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to me, haddathani. So to say haddathani or haddathana, which is part of the istilah, the technical words of the scholars of hadith, when they talk about hadith narration, it is not an innovation. They got it from Sunnah. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said, haddathani abi, my father reported to me, Umar ibn al-Khattab, my father Umar ibn al-Khattab reported to me, radiyallahu anhu. He said, bayna nahnu julus inda rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istala alayna rajul, shadidu bayad al-siyah. That hadith, this was how it came. This is the sabab of the world of that hadith. This is the sabab of that hadith, that lengthy hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab. It was reported from Umar ibn al-Khattab by Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, his son. This is part of riwayah of Sahaba from Sahaba. Sometimes they will mention the Sahaba who reported to them. Sometimes they would not mention, they would just mention the hadith. وَهَذَا لَا يَدُرُّ لِأَنَّ الصُّحَابَةَ كُلَّهُمْ أُدُولُ. Because all the Sahaba, كُلُّهُمْ أُدُولُ, all of them, كُلُّهُمْ أُدُولُ, they are all reliable to you. They are all reliable. So whether he mentioned that his father narrated to him, or he didn't mention that his father narrated to him, the fact that the companion reported is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, it suffices. So don't be surprised if you see this hadith someday, somehow, reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, not mentioning Umar ibn Khattab. So it makes us understand that Abdullah ibn Umar heard it from his father, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So he reported the hadith. That one day they start with the Prophet. We know the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. So the asl of that hadith, it came because people came to tell Abdullah ibn Umar about Qadr. That some people now deny Qadr. How are they denying Qadr? I don't have anything to do with them. So as he's saying he doesn't have anything to do with them, someone can just ask, what is the proof? So he wants to bring the proof. Radiallahu anhu. Do we understand? And what is the proof? This hadith. So it also means that to speak and quote a hadith as proof is not an innovation. So he's quoting the hadith. The haddathani abi. So he quoted the hadith. And the mahal shahid in this hadith was when Umar ibn al-Khattab reported that Jibreel alayhi salam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. Give me information regarding iman. And he said, أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. So this is the evidence for Ibn Umar saying that if those people spend the kind of Mount Uhud, Allah will not accept it because it's part of Arkanul Iman. Do we understand this point? So what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has told us in this point is that he said, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ اللَّازِمَةِ الَّتِي مَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْهَا خَصْلَةً لَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا وَيُؤْمِنْ بِهَا. That from the sunnah that is emphatic, from the things that are emphatic in the deen, that anyone who leaves any aspect of it, he has not accepted the sunnah. Let him not say he has accepted Islam, like the one who denies that there was day of Qiyamah. Let him not believe, let him not just bother himself. Let him not think that he's from the Muslims, talk less of saying that he's from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah, who are the best of the Muslims. The Muslims, the way Allah wants us to be Muslims, they are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, that the one who does not believe in all these points that we are going to mention here, لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, is not from the people of Islam. Do we understand? So he started to mention those things. And the first one that he mentioned is, الْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And he said, وَالتَّصْدِيقُ بِالْأَحَادِيثِ فِيهِ. And believing those ahadith that has been reported regarding what? Al-Qadr. Wal-Imanu biha. And actually believing them, accepting them as true, tasdeeq, Al-Iman bihi, believing them. You accept them as true and then you believe them. Do we understand? La yuqalu. We are not going to say lima. Why? Why is it like that? Why did Allah create? Why? And you see, when people ask lima, they go astray. When people ask lima, they go astray. Because they, at the end of the day, they will abuse Allah, they will abuse His Messenger, they will deny so many things. In the process of saying why? Why should Allah create so and so? Why should Allah? Why did he? They forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, He is not asked. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. Allah is not asked about what He does. He is the one who asks the people. Those people will be asked. But Allah is not asked why. Why did He create so and so? Don't ask Allah that. Though the Christians do that, they say, why God, why? Don't ask lima. That is from the maqdurat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said, innama huwa mada at-tasdiq wal-imanu biha. The issue is just about what? At-tasdiq. Accepting it as what? True. And then what? Al-imanu biha. Believing in them. Inshallah, I would like to stop here. We started exactly about an hour ago. And our agreement is that we'll be spending 1 hour, inshallah. So we'd like to stop here, because the next matter, by the time we start discussing them also, they will take a little time. So we'd like to stop here on this issue. We pray Almighty Allah to make us understand better than it has been said. Let us not forget the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned us regarding the issues of Qadr. He said, "Iza zukira ashabi fa amsiku." When people talk about my companions, be careful. Don't go haste, start talking about the companions. Be careful. إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدَرْ فَأَمْسِكُ. Also, when the issues of Qadr are discussed, be careful. Hold on. Don't go and start talking and asking lima and kaif and asking and asking. When you do not understand it, just, he says, إِنَّمَا هُوَ مَذَا أَتَّصْدِيكُ وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. The matter is just to make tasdeeq, accepting that that is how it is. And مَذَا الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. Then believing that that is how it is. أَكُولُ مَا أَكُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَكْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Perhaps before the next 14 minutes, if we have one or two questions that we'll attempt to answer, inshallah. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Now, Khawarij. It is asking that the Khawarij Kufar. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book Al-Iman, page 26, he said they are not. But the issue is, most of these Firaq Kudala, their issues cannot be taken as blankets. The ulama do not pass ahkam on them, pass rulings on them just in a blanket like that. They pass rulings on what? Individuals. They do not pass rulings on them. لا يطلقون الأحكام عليهم هكذا مطلقا. They don't just make the judgment on them who all the Khawarij Kufar. Ulama do not say so. They mention each of them because the extent of involvement and fall of individuals in all these bid'ah in innovations, they vary from one of them to the other, from one of them to the other, from one of them to the other. So they do not make blanket takfir. And also the companions, according to Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book Al-Iman, he said the companions did not make takfir of them. He said Ali radiallahu anhu did not make takfir of them. But Ali radiallahu anhu believed that they are not even munafiqun. Radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, against whom they came out. Because that's the meaning of Khawarij, are those who came out against. فَخَرَجُوا هُمْ خَرَجُوا عَلَىٰ Ali ibn Abi Talib. It was Ali ibn Abi Talib that they rebelled against. He himself didn't make takfir of them. He said because Allah mentioned in the Quran that the munafiqun la yadhkuruna Allah illa qalila. And these are Khawarij, they make a lot of zikr. He said they are not munafiqun. So he did not make takfir of them. And so did Abdullah ibn Abbas. He made munakasha with them, trying to invite some of them to come back to Islam. Some of them came, some of them did not. In fact, Ali ibn Abi Talib did not start fighting them until they started to kill Muslims. The Khawarij, because they believed that the Muslim became a kafir, And this also the miza, what is different between Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah and other firakul dhala. Other firakul dhala, they make takfir of one another. The Khawarij make takfir of the Murji'ah. The Murji'ah make takfir of Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila make takfir. Everybody is throwing the takfir. It is Ahlul Sunnah that is standing. They act upon individuals as the case, Ummatan wasatan. They are the ones who maintain balance. They don't just make takfir on the people just like that. So they did not make blanket takfir on the Khawarij. They make takfir as was necessary with individuals. And I do not know any one of them that the companion made takfir of. Like Ibn Taymiyyah said in his book Al-Iman, you can go and read the book. In fact, he said anyone who is making takfir of them, yukhalifu jama'at al-muslimin. He is making khilaf of the jama'at of muslimin. The issue is that many people didn't, they make their emotions to become Islam. And our emotion is not Islam. Do we understand? Someone begins to urinate in the masjid. This masjid now, if someone comes here and urinates here, what do we do to him? If someone comes into this masjid and begins to urinate, what do you do to him? You kill him? Huh? Why don't you kill him? This masjid, min sha'airillah, masajid is part of the sha'air of Islam. What do you do to him? Today, Muslims will kill such persons. Is it not so? Even without taking to the qadi, they will bring the knife and stab the person. But the one who urinated in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet was there, what did he say? They were even abusing him. He said, don't abuse him. Go and bring water. He didn't even say, you're the one who urinates, should go and bring water. He said someone else should go and bring water to pour on the masjid. He became a fiqh for the whole of the ummah today. So all these things, they have qawaid. They have what goes. But because people are emotionally, you know, atfiyah, they are carried by emotions. We want to defend Allah's deen. You want to defend Allah's deen the way he didn't send you? At the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, there was a Jewish slave who used to abuse the Prophet. She was a slave of a companion. The companion was blind. This hadith is reported by Ashabu Sunan. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a whole book on this hadith. As-sarimul maslul ala shatamir rasul. A drawn sword against the one who abuses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That's the title of the book. And he was talking about this hadith. He reported this hadith with many alfaz. And he verified that the hadith is authentic. He mentioned too many things. This companion was blind. So each time, he liked that Jewish slave of his. But that Jewish slave used to abuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to abuse the Prophet. He'd be wondering, I don't abuse our Prophet again. She would be abusing the Prophet. She's not a Muslim. And she was living under a Muslim as a slave. Slave! Abusing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one day she abused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This companion took her, tied her, brought her outside, sat upon her and scattered her hair with the axe. The case was brought to the Prophet and he made iqrar. Yes. But what did ulama say about this? They say this kind of a sin is restricted to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who abuses the Prophet must be taken to the court of law. Isn't shouting sorry, al-maslul? But today, the Muslims see someone abusing the Prophet. What did they do? They kill him. They say it's jihad. Who's jihad? Who sent you that? And we forgot. The Muslims forget that we should not worship Allah, seeking His pleasure with what He has not sent us. Take him to the qadi. The Qadi will pass judgment on him. What about those people who are innocent, other Muslims, other Christians? You kill them innocently? وَلَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ أَنْ تَوَلَّوْهُمْ فَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So these are the people. They are just there. They are selling their goods in the market. You burn all their things because one person in Sweden abused the Prophet. So you kill the person in Meduguri, you kill the person in... Who sent you that one? So the deen, what we are saying is people make takfir of Khawarij and all this without actually establishing that. Even the companions in whose time these people exist, did they make takfir of them? Allah Mustaan. I hope the question is answered. I didn't hear. Masamitu kalamat. يمركون من الدين الخوارج يمركون من الدين كما أنت تفهمت الحديث أكثر من الصحابة because the prophet when he was talking about the attributes of the khawarij he said they will go out of the religion the way an arrow goes out of the bow but we say it doesn't mean that it's not all of them it's not a blanket judgment so يمركون من الدين those amongst them Those ones amongst them that they make takfir of, they make takfir of them. Because after that, after the khawarij of the period of the companions, some worse ones also came. But even that, did they make blanket takfir of them? And the sahabas know this hadith. Did they not know it? If they didn't know it, who reported the hadith? If it is not a sahaba that reported the hadith is weak because it will be mursal hadith. Even if it is sahih unto the mursal. Mursal and sahih da'if. Hadith Mursal Sahih, Hukmuhu Da'if. So if it is not reported by a companion, let's not bother ourselves. If it is reported by a companion, those companions reported it and they didn't make takfir of Khawarij. According to Imam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah. Now, Alaykum As-Salaam Wa Rahmatullah. We have just 5 minutes. Now, yes, they are very, very susceptible because Shaitan knows that if you mislead one scholar, he will mislead billion Muslims. Many Muslims will follow that error. If you mislead, look at all these people in the history of Islam. People were following them. They call him Zulfadiyya because he has breasts like a woman. He was killed by Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was Ra'ful Khawarij. He's the head of Khawarij. And he lived at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. He even made khuruj against the Prophet ﷺ. But because of the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he walked out of the Prophet ﷺ. Zuhu Wesara. Ali radiallahu anhu killed him. When he killed him, he said, Sadaqa Allah wa Sadaqa Rasul. He said, Allah has said the truth to the Prophet because the Prophet had told him when he walked away that you will be the one to kill him. So the day they met at Harur, he was looking for him. Ghazwat Haruriya. That's why they call them Haruriya. They call those people because where they met, the first place they met was at Harur. They had another battle in a place between Makkah and Medina. I want to try to remember the name of the location. That was where it was in this second battle that Ali radiallahu anhu killed Zuhu Waisara. He was looking for him. He had been wounded, but he was not dead. He was asking, where is Zuhu Waisara? They were saying that he has fallen already. He has fallen on the battleground. He is dead. He said he cannot die. You know what? He knew why he was saying that. Because the Prophet had told him that he didn't want to kill Zuhu Waisara. So he saw him. He turned him. He saw that he opened his eyes. He stabbed him, radiallahu anhu. He killed Zuhu Waisara. He said, Sadaqa Allah, Sadaqa Rasul. You see this in Al-Farqu Bayn Al-Firaq. Al-Imam Tahir Al-Muqtasi. Al-Baghdadi. He mentioned this qissa, he mentioned that it is authentic. So Ali radiallahu anhu killed Zuhu Waisara. What we are saying is these people, when they killed Zuhu Waisara, he had other people who were like his deputies. Those people ran away, about 12 of them, they ran away to other parts of the world. They were the ones who restarted the movement, so to speak. So they were usually intelligent people. They were usually intelligent people. But the Shaitan knew that when he misleads them, he misleads so many other people. That's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُدِّلِينَ One of what I fear most for my ummah is, leader, they are the leaders, but they are misleading the people. I fear it most for my people. So the fact that leaders are misleading, and it's what he fears most, means that the leaders are the people Shaitan is following. He wants them to fail, so that the people will also fail. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah save us from the evils of Shaitan. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who wrote this book, we know his part of his history. We mentioned at the beginning of this discussion. The day he was to die, Shaitan came to him and said, Futtani ya Ahmad. You have missed me, so to speak. I tried to follow you, I couldn't. You have futtani, you have missed me, O Ahmad. He said, La hatta ba'd al-yawm. I have not until after today. You know why the Imam said so? If he said yes, he had already arrested him. Do you understand? The day he was dying, someone was dying, preparing to die. And Shaitan came and said, you missed me. So Salih, the son of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, was hearing his father saying, La hatta ba'd al-yawm. No, until after today. No, until after today. So Salih was asking his father, what are you saying? No, until after today. He said, Jani Shaitan. Shaitan came to me and said, Futtani ya Ahmad. You have missed me, O Ahmad. He said, La, I have not missed you. You can still be dangerous. After today, no problem. But now, I have not missed you. Look at Shaitan. To his people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So may Allah preserve us from the evils of Shaitan. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. His wife. The hadith is authentic. It's the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It is just as it is. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Musnad Imam Ahmad. So one of the ends, one of the Ashrat al-Sa' is that a man will be engaged in a business and the people assisting him on that business is his wife. They are the ones assisting him in business trade. Selling the market, his wife is staying in the shop, she's staying there, accounting. It's part of the signs of the last hour. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Now, if he is not judged against that, so man anta, who are we? Someone came, this hadith is the third or the fourth hadith in Adabul Mufrad of Imam Bukhari. Someone came to Abdullah ibn Abbas. Yes, we're going to find it some funny. He proposed to marry a girl. The girl said no. Someone else proposed to marry the girl. He said, Fagirtu alayha. I became, gira took me, jealousy. I was jealous. A girl that I proposed to, she said no, you come and propose to her, kill the man that the girl has accepted. So he came to ask Ibn Abbas, what is he going to do that Allah will forgive him? Ibn Abbas told him, you have your parents alive, your mother and your father? He said yes. Go and please your mother, pleasing your mother. This hadith makes us understand, Ibn Abbas was not the Qadi. Why did he say, you kill somebody, okay, good, let them stone him and kill him back. Because he's not a Qadi, he's not a judge. Is he a judge? He's not a judge. So if Allah has not placed us in the position of execution of certain things, if you execute it, Allah will ask you on the day of Qiyamah. So he's not a judge. You see a thief, they are beating the thief. We will read it here. In this Usul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that if the thief comes to your house, fight him, but don't follow him. A thief comes, we'll read it. Part of Aqidah al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. A thief comes to you, I said, fight him, but don't follow him. And when you are fighting him, don't intend to kill him. Nusus. We'll read it, inshallah. So today everybody is a judge on its own. Is the police, you are the police, you are the judge, you find him guilty, you kill, you execute the punishment. So all these things have brought disorderliness in the community. Everybody is a king, everybody is a judge. Allah understand. Alaykum salam. This will be the last question, inshallah. they flog the person 100. He has to bring the proof. He, what will he see? The simple fact is that he's wrong. He's wrong. He's not qadi. He doesn't have the sultan to do that. As he did that, if the person went to the police and took the police to arrest him, what will he say? Do you understand what we're saying? Or can't he be arrested? Can't be arrested. Well arrested for doing that. So what will he say? He's not in the position, halas. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah did not place burdens upon anyone except the one he placed on himself. He placed that one on himself. Allah did not place it on him. Do you know what? Ulama say, even if it's a judge, but he's not sitting in court as judge, that the person is brought now in judgment, that judgment is passed over him, he should not do that. He should not pass that action. Do we understand? A judge, Sharia court judge, you meet him in his house. He can't pass that judgment, except it's in the court. These things are in there in the books of fiqh. But today, after fear, emotion is overriding the senses, knowledge. So many people do so many things that Allah did not send them. In the name of Allah. Allahu a'lam. قل ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.